Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show, everybody. Silver Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for... Why am I about to say filling in for... Oh, that's because I'm reading an email. Fortunately, Alan has passed away, so I'm not filling in for him. I'm just hosting the program, along with our litany of guest hosts. Suppose you could call us the Alan Nathan All-Stars. Actually, that's the corporate term that was being bandied about by the Main Street Radio Network, who you should thank for allowing this program to exist. We'll get that in a moment. But first, our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. And that was Alan Nathan's mantra since, what, 1998? Some variation thereof starting back in 1998. I think he refined it by the year 2000 at least. So anyway, it's a tradition of the program, and we will honor that tradition even after his untimely passing. Anyway, so Main Street Radio Network, they are the ones who continue to bring you this program, so you can show them some gratitude. Go to mainstreetradionetwork.com. There's a contact page up there if you want to thank them for it. But there's also podcast pages for The Alan Nathan Show and The Silker Joe Show in case you decide you like me hosting and want to catch the weekend show that I do at mainstreetradionetwork.com. As a matter of fact, today, well, not today, but sometime this week will have been the 5th anniversary of me first hosting the Silker Joe Show, although it went under a different name at the time. It didn't get the Silker Joe Show name for another couple of months yet, from when after I first hosted it. But it's a big five, the big five, five-year mission to explore strange new topics. But anyway, it's all at mainstreetradionetwork.com, but we are on social media as well. We post under Facebook's I post under Facebook's pages. Sometime you'll see information about the Alan Nathan Show on Main Street's Facebook pages as well. Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, but also X at Main Street Radio and X at Alan Nathan, and there's even alannathan.com. Find out more information about the program. Find Alan's columns and op-eds preserved for posterity. And prosperity. Read his columns and they will guide you to prosperity in some form or another. Although I guess I'm not really allowed to say such things because it sounds too definitive and like I'm telling you to set your finances by us. No, I wouldn't do that. Come on now. That's up to you folks. Consult experts. Anyway, we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Now, on the social media outlets, you'll often find the topics for the show that day. I've got mine pre-written right here. Democrat voters angry that shutdown ended. I should put the in there. I should really put the word the in there. Democrat voters are angry that the shutdown ended and families will eat again. Will their rage at the establishment carry over to the midterms? Also, Adam Schiff, Letitia James, and now Eric Swalwell were all caught disqualifying themselves from their positions by applying for mortgages with the wrong primary address. Whatever happened to no one is above the law? So, let's start with Letitia James with that, because she is the one who was most recently, I suppose, said no one is above the law, though Adam Schiff probably said it a bunch too. But in my, to my recollection, from what I've researched, the most recent one that I saw say no one above the law is Letitia James. But on top of that, she is also the Attorney General for the state of New York. Now, what I mean when I say they are these people were disqualifying themselves from their positions is this. For Letitia James to be Attorney General of the state of New York, to everyone's surprise, including hers, you actually have to be a resident of New York. And while you can own property in other states, your primary residence has to be in the state of New York. Well, Letitia James, I guess she didn't know that because she listed her primary residence as being in the state of Virginia. Now, Virginia is a few hours away from New York, so she would have a very hard time reconciling being the Attorney General for the state of New York and making the mistake of saying her primary residence is in the state of Virginia. I mean, I suppose if it came right down to it, I think there's a Norfolk in New York, and her home down here in Virginia is in Norfolk, Virginia, so perhaps she could say that she got the two Norfolks mixed up. At least I think there's a Norfolk in New York. I know that there's some areas around Virginia that have the same name as areas in New York. I'm not sure if Norfolk is one of them or not, because I don't live in New York. I've never been to New York. I have no intention of going to New York, except possibly New York City, and that would only be so that I can justify buying a Lego of New York City, because I actually went there. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't make sense to have that Lego, would it? Like, except if you were buying Legos, I guess. But anyway, that's the only reason I'd ever be there. So pardon my geographical ignorance about that. But anyway, that's the only excuse that she could possibly have, though. Otherwise, she's the Attorney General of the state. She ought to know how to read a damn mortgage application. I mean, I'm not even a lawyer, and I had to read the thing and acknowledge that I understood every word that was in it under penalty of a lot of federal crimes if I lied or misstated anything. So if the average person out there has to do that, has to know these things, then surely the Attorney General of the state can't get away with claiming ignorance on it, right? And that should extend to senators and congressmen. Now, Adam Schiff, he was caught saying his primary residence was, like, Maryland, I think, and even though he is the senator from California and was previously a congressman for California. And again, to be a congressman or senator from California, your primary residence has to be in California. I know, it's a shocker. They spend so much time in Washington, D.C., especially swamp creatures like Adam Schiff, that they probably couldn't find California on a map. Yet to qualify for that job, you have to have your primary residence in California. Likewise with Eric Swalwell, congressman from California. In order to be a congressman from California, as Adam Schiff was, you have to have your primary residence in California. Well, Eric Swalwell, his is in D.C., according to the papers he filled out. Now, are we supposed to believe that these two that are brought on as experts about all the crimes that Trump did, they're supposed to be these top guys who are going after Trump, no one's above the law, etc.? Are we supposed to believe that they're so stupid that they would not know that to qualify for their job, their primary residence has to be in the state that they are representing, and they just accidentally or without understanding wrote in the wrong information on the mortgage papers? I just wonder how the left is squaring the circle in their minds. Are they perhaps denying that this happened at all, even though you have the papers right in front of you, just saying, oh, because that seems to be more of what they're going towards from what I've seen in the media coverage. If it is ever mentioned at all, whether it's Schiff, James, or Swalwell, well, lately Swalwell, I haven't seen any coverage about him except that he did it from Breitbart, but aside from Adam Schiff with Adam Schiff and Letitia James, they're just saying it's bogus charges and they shouldn't be prosecuted. That's it. Like, these things are not crimes when they do it, basically. I mean, gee whiz, I saw on the local news a few weeks ago with Letitia James when she had her first court session, there was a crowd of Democrats out there saying it was political persecution, but she committed the crime. You have it right there in black and white on a sheet of paper. And on top of that, well, either... That's the thing, though. She's actually backed herself into a corner. If she tries to argue that she told the truth, that is her primary residence, then she disqualifies herself from being Attorney General of the state of New York. And if anyone with half a functioning brain cell catches wind of that ruling, that declaration from her, then they can nullify any case that she brought against them. So, hypothetically, Donald Trump. Let's say Letitia James, who prosecuted Trump so vigorously, let's say... And managed to get a success or two out of it because of how stacked the courts are in New York. That's another thing, too. That's why these cases weren't being brought in New York State, because you could show a jury in New York, hey, here she is signing this, saying that she is not qualified to be the Attorney General, and they would still find her not guilty and probably demand that whoever brought the charges pay for her legal representation as well, just because the law doesn't matter when you have a bunch of liberals getting together. But... that's why they brought it in the state of Virginia, because they knew that they had a better chance of getting, not a great chance, just a better chance of convicting her. So she can defend herself by saying that her primary residence actually is down here. And if she does, then Donald Trump, who has had cases and judgments against him because of her, he can go back and say, well, you know what? These cases and judgments are nullified now because you just admitted your primary residence was in the state of Virginia. And if that's the case, well, that means nothing you said in court was valid at that time because you weren't at that time. And that's the risk that they run with Letitia James runs by doing this. Now, if she pleads guilty or whatever and says, okay, yes, my bad, I lied on this mortgage form like I accused Donald Trump of doing, lying on his forms for bank loans and whatever. I did the same thing. I did the crime I'm guilty of. Well, liberals would be much more forgiving of her. She'd probably face a fine or whatever. That would actually be the easy way out because she went after Donald Trump. That's all liberals wanted from her. They don't care how many crimes she committed outside of that. They really don't. So if she just admitted, yes, I'm guilty of mortgage fraud, she'd still be attorney general. She could run again as attorney general and again and again and again and be guaranteed success in the state of New York because that's just how Democrats are. So that is perhaps her best solution. As far as Adam Schiff and Ex-Wawa, well, it's the same thing. Otherwise, if they try and pursue this and are found guilty of mortgage fraud, well, that kind of nullifies. If they deny mortgage fraud, then that means they weren't. They were actually primary residents outside their state, which nullifies any of their votes. More Al Nathan Schaff this break.
A 2025 annual study by National Student Clearinghouse, more than 43 million people have some college credit but no degree. Devin Andrews, Vice President of Admissions and Evaluation at University of Phoenix, explains how to leverage prior college credit and pursue that degree.
Not everyone follows a straight path from high school to a college degree, but a University of Phoenix survey found that 33% of working adults don't realize that their college coursework might still apply toward a degree. Completing a degree can open doors to career enhancement, and previous college credit could count toward a degree, with the potential to save both time and money. Start by documenting your learning, check colleges or universities to see if they have clear policies on transferring credit, and look for tools that might help you assess your program time and cost.
Check out the University of Phoenix mobile app, TransferPath, and download it for a free pre-evaluation of transfer credit.
Across the country, thousands of military families are facing a devastating hardship during the government shutdown. Before October 1st, 1 in 4 active duty families already struggled to afford groceries. Military Family Advisory Network CEO Shannon Razadin.
When the shutdown entered its second week, we started hearing from military families who were incredibly nervous about their paycheck and if they'd be able to put food on the table. That's why we launched MFAN's Emergency Grocery Support Program. Within the first 72 hours, more than 50,000 military families applied for grocery support.
MFAN is calling on Americans to join the response and to donate. You can visit combatmilitaryhunger.org.
We feel that no military family should have concerns around putting food on the table, and we know that so many Americans share that belief. Please join us by donating at combatmilitaryhunger.org, and we will make sure that the groceries are delivered to the military families who need it most.
Adopt US Kids for multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, No other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show, everybody. Silker Joe Show, co-host Joe, hosting the program today. And we are joined by Nils Gravelius. He is a prominent Los Angeles-based private investigator of the Pinkerton Organization, best known for his investigation of the Wonderland Avenue murders, their cover-up, and the ties they exposed between L.A. city government and organized crime. And his books include Skull Diggory and Sub Rosa, with his next book, The Last Lawman, due in 2026. Nils Gravelius, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
Yeah, well, it's my sincere pleasure, Joe. I want to clarify, I'm no longer with the Pinkerton Service. I'm out on my own freelancing on the streets of Los Angeles.
Okay. Just make that quick correction here. Formerly of the Pinkerton. There. That way, if I do it now, I won't forget later. So we're talking now, though, about these laws out in California where killers are allowed to get-out-of-jail-free card based on mental health laws out there, loopholes. And we kind of saw how that can work to the detriment of the public over, actually, in North Carolina, with the and this was made prominent by the murder of Irina Zarutska. And that was because the killer was released many times before on the grounds of mental health. So we know how bad this can be, but it's still allowed to happen, and particularly in California. What's going on with that?
Well, it's a strategy. I mean, if you think about it, these people, whether they're mentally ill criminals, drug addicted criminals, alcoholic criminals, whatever, they are inventory for the social workers and the NGOs. This is job security for them. The more of these people we have on the streets, the better the chance they have of jacking up the middle and working classes for more tax dollars for homeless services. Homeless services, Joe, a cryptocurrency for Democrat activists.
So, yeah, they use the money from the homeless services not to actually help the homeless, but to funnel it to various pet projects of their own or activist groups of their own, which helps explain stuff like anomalies like in Seattle, where however many years ago now that this figure came out, they were spending over $100,000 per homeless person. And obviously that, you know, that's enough to live a nice middle class lifestyle, but wasn't getting to the homeless people.
No, they're living a nice middle-class lifestyle. It's just not the derelicts living the lifestyle. It's the parasites and the NGOs and the social welfare agencies. They live the middle-class lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's rather sad that taxpayer money is funneled in that fashion, and it doesn't seem like there's much to do about it, especially when you have single-party rule and there's no competitors that might, and thus no one who is against the corruption who could possibly get into office.
Well, I agree with you. You know, they've feathered their own nest with taxpayer money. They regularly jack up the public. This wasn't accidental. They did this on purpose.
And now, how do these people in their own minds justify and get away with this? Because surely they understand that they live in the same area as these people that they're releasing.
they will encounter them on their way to work. They think embracing decrepitude and dereliction and disorder makes them look cool. It's the hipster lifestyle, Joe. That's what you need to understand. They're bereft of conscience, and they have an alibi in that they are part of the expert class. They get their garbage degrees in social sciences from state-funded a-hole factories. You and I pay for the whole thing. They have degrees in social work and social justice and, you know, struggle studies and things like that. You and I underwrite the whole thing.
I don't know. I feel like now working the job that I do, 9 to 5 and all that, maybe I got into the wrong business. I could just get one of those jobs and do nothing and get paid. Do nothing except destroy society, I guess.
I don't want to flinch while I shave my face in the morning, Joe. You know, so I'd rather be a man. I'd rather live under a bridge and eat canned dog food than pick the pockets of the public.
Well, what is the way out of this? Because once they've lodged themselves in, they get their one-party rule going. I mean, even if there was two-party rule, the corruption, it's just too tempting. What is the civic solution to this?
Well, I mean, what's the cure for a tapeworm, Joe? I mean, you have to eat poison, right? You have to almost go to war with these people. You can't skip any election. You have to launch a candidate for every board, every commission, that sort of thing. You have to relentlessly fight them in court. You can't skip anything. You can't overlook anything. You can't be friendly with these people. They are not our friends. And I'll tell you, we've been in a slow burn civil war since the battle for Seattle in 1999, when they jacked up the World Trade Organization, and suddenly globalism is great as far as the left is concerned. And what the WTO did after the battle for Seattle in 1999 was fund all of their crazy ideas, their NGOs, etc., under the guise of fighting global warming. That was the purpose of all that. The temperature hasn't changed one iota since.
Now, global warming's been a pretty bad grift. I mean, the science that they pursue behind it is terrible. Just thinking of a study that I saw that was touted in climate magazines, it's like this person was just looking at pictures of the Earth over the course of 20 years, and the conclusion that they came to was the oceans are getting greener. No idea what's causing it. Can't even tell if it's just different cameras being used or light hitting the Earth differently. But they said they don't know what's causing it, but it must be humans somehow. It's humans doing it.
No, he doesn't know whether to defecate or wind his watch, Joe. I mean, it's just made up. It's more garbage. That's all. And we're paying for it.
Yeah, right, of our taxpayer money. But it's also just all these people who are believing in this, too. Like, somehow folks in Los Angeles, they're believing that, hey, the more that we pay for these homeless programs that end up not actually going to the homeless, end up going to all this grift, the more somehow that's going to help society.
Well, you've overlooked our $80 billion train that isn't going to be built. We've already given it $40 billion. There's not one. Walt Disney laid more track in Anaheim in 1954 than Gavo or Bunko Jerry have laid on this train in 17 years.
Yeah, the hypersonic train. How are they just? Are they still continuing to fund that project? Like, how are the voters understanding this?
Of course, they're picking my pocket for all of this, and just enriching their donors. That's the whole purpose of it. They were never going to build a train.
Yeah, just another grift that the taxpayers are left on the hook for. But as you said, I guess a lot of this is just performative. And I mean, to them, they, I guess, donating money, taxpayer money to this, watching their tax rates skyrocket is no different than donating to charity and hoping the money goes that way.
Right, right. And all of the fools in San Francisco and Los Angeles and Oakland, et cetera, sit there and the endorphins rush across their shrunken cerebrums. And they feel so good about themselves as they become poorer and poorer and increasingly punished by being surrounded by criminal derelicts and everything else. It's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, unfortunately, once it gets to be too bad, they'll just migrate somewhere else and then start over again, leaving behind the folks whose lives they damaged.
They transplant themselves to Boise, to Texas, etc., and they don't think of themselves as economic refugees when they land in a red state. They think of themselves as holy pilgrims, Joe. They bring their stupid politics with them.
Well, we'll have to leave it at that. Nils Gervelius, appreciate you being on the show. About 10 seconds left here. You mentioned that you're in business for yourself. We're going to listen to find out more.
Well, I'm on X, formerly Twitter, at Detective Nils. I'm in the phone book if anybody desperately needs to reach me.
Tonum Health, T-O-N-U-M, Tonum Health, and the product is Motus, M-O-T-U-S. It's a multiple ingredient formula that not only addresses GLP-1 with appetite and insulin sensitivity, but it also addresses fat oxidation and metabolism, addresses cellular energy with NAD levels. And so what we see is not only fat loss, quite frankly, exceeding that of these GLP-1 medications, where 87% of the weight that's lost is fat mass. That's a stark contrast to those medications. But we see numbers of weight loss as well that are pretty dramatic, 10.5% across the 6 months with the 100 study participants, and 14.5% weight loss with those that are doing excellent diet and exercise. Tonum.com, T-O-N-U-M, Tonum.com, and the product is Motus, M-O-T-U-S.
Small businesses face constant security challenges, from protecting property to keeping employees and customers safe. SimpliSafe is stepping in with a new suite of professional-grade security solutions designed specifically for business owners. TV host and entrepreneur Chip Wade has more.
As a business owner, I travel a lot for work, and it's reassuring to have a system that not only lets me monitor my businesses no matter where I am, but it's protected by trained agents who will intervene if there's trouble. It's about knowing my offices and workshops are protected even when I can't be there.
SimpliSafe Business Security offers customizable plans backed by 24/7 monitoring. Key features include AI-powered cameras, live agents who can help prevent crimes and call for help in an emergency, multi-camera live streaming, customized user access, and elevated customer support.
SimpliSafe aims to give business owners just like me peace of mind so they can focus on growing their businesses, all without long-term contracts or cancellation penalties.
To learn more, visit SimpliSafe.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, don't tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's this notion of hunger, feeding the poor, the sick, the tired. It's not an option. It's central to advancing God's will. I mean, the fundamental point that we'd be using, because this is what it's about, and the federal government said it in the lawsuit, that they want to use it as a bargaining chip. to end this shutdown. That's shameful. It's never happened in U.S. history.
I mean, shutdowns are terrible. And of course, there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer. We take that responsibility very seriously. But it is one of the few leverage times we have.
Show Lady Silker Joe Show co-host Joe hosting the program today. And what you just heard first was from CNN's State of the Union with Jake Tapper this past Sunday. California Governor Gavin Newsom, with Democrat, with his fake piety and absolute hypocrisy. He is trying to condemn Republicans for claiming to believe in God, but then starving people with the government shutdown, saying that Republicans are the ones using it as leverage, says that that's a disgrace that they would use starving people as leverage. And then it's followed by clip number two from October 22nd, just a couple weeks prior, where his fellow Democrat, House Minority Whip Catherine Clark, says Democrats are actually the ones using the suffering of people as leverage. So he really, I guess he's trying to vie for the leader of his party or something. I don't know. He's off there in California doing California things. But anyway, I don't really think that he... I'm surprised he didn't burst into flames, though, when he was speaking with a forked tongue there, trying to pretend to be the devil there, talking about God, because, well, I mean, we're talking about California here, where he is in favor of infanticide, where he's in favor of homosexuals infecting people with AIDS. That's the reason why they have it. They downgraded deliberately infecting someone with AIDS from felony to misdemeanor because they said it was being discriminatory against the homosexual population to have it as a felony to deliberately infect someone with AIDS. I mean, that's a death sentence, especially if you don't have money for the medications. You know, they say, oh, AIDS is okay now. You got all this medications that can help you through it, or doesn't get rid of it. It just helps you with the symptoms. Yeah, but you need money for that kind of stuff. If you don't have money, it's a death sentence. But, hey, it's California. They're so afraid of discrimination that they will allow actual murder. I mean, that's like saying, we can treat most stab wounds now, therefore stabbing someone in the heart is not actually murder, which I'm surprised they have not made that allegation yet, but we'll see. Actually, in the next segment, we're talking about how in New York City, we're supposed to have Michael Letts on to talk about how in New York City they're going to replace police with social workers. So who knows? Maybe in New York City, they will be the first ones to declare that because stab wounds can be treated, it's not attempted murder anymore. Much like because AIDS can theoretically be the symptoms managed, not treated, but managed, that means that it's not attempted murder to deliberately infect someone with it. But anyway, so that's the nature of the person who was out there trying to shame Republicans or whatever, but he's also kind of ignoring the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat, which a lot of people on food stamps would kind of fall under that category. I've seen plenty of videos out there of people on food stamps where they actually sell the food stamps. It's their kind of side hustle there, or it's their entire industry. And other people who call you a sucker for working a 9-to-5 when the government will pay you to sit at home and pop out kids. So, you know, I think those people would be exempt from the biblically based shaming that Newsom was trying to do. But anyway, that aside, he was also going against his own party because it wasn't just House Minority Whip Catherine Clark. I mean, I know there's going to be people out there saying, oh, well, she's just the House Minority Whip. She has no say on anything. Well, Gavin Newsom is just the governor. He has no say on anything either. But being the House Minority Whip means you're the second in command in the House of Representatives, and Congress is the one doing the shutdown, not California. So I would say that, yes, she does have no authority. She would, since this started in the Senate, the shutdown, it's Schumer's shutdown, it started in the Senate, I would say she's number four in the chain of command for congressionally based government shutdowns such as we're seeing. And certainly with the vote scheduled at 7 o'clock right after the end of this program in the House, she's going to be part of the group voting to keep the government closed because, again, it's leverage that they can't afford to lose. And it's kind of ironic because Newsom is the one saying Republicans are the ones trying to starve people, but it's Democrats voting to keep the government closed. It's not like Republicans are trying to slam through new legislation or anything. Everything that Republicans tried was just blank continuing resolution, the kind of thing Democrats agreed on back in March. But the thing of it is, Democrats needed this shutdown badly. No wonder it's the longest running shutdown that we've had. They needed this shutdown, and now that they don't, because the election is passed, they need it to end. And, you know, even MSNBC over the weekend, one of their panelists actually, one of their brain cells activated for a brief moment. I guess he shared that day, it was his turn for the collective brain cell shared by everyone at MSNBC. And he finally had it in his head, whoever this guest was, don't remember his, I didn't even look up his name, I just saw him say it. But he said that perhaps the Democrats were only using the shutdown for the election. Now that it's passed, they're going to go on with business. But now we have it coming out, according to Senator Jeanine Shaheen from Democrat out of New Hampshire, Schumer is actually the one who orchestrated the shutdown ending. And boy, Democrat voters are angry. They were angry before. They accused him of caving in. But now that she's come out and told the New Republic, it's a media outlet online. I think they had a magazine at some point. I don't know if they still do, but Shaheen told the New Republic that Schumer was the one who orchestrated this ending to the shutdown. And again, it was predicted actually on CNN, where on election night last week, CNN's Abby Phillips said, oh, with this beating that the Republicans took, the Democrats now have all this leverage in the Senate, all this power now, because look at how badly the Republicans were beaten. But then ever the voice of reason in CNN, Scott Jennings, said, well, no, actually, Democrats just kind of won in blue states, and they have no leverage, and they'll just use this as an excuse to finally end the shutdown, which they only kept going for, A, bolster support for the No Kings protests earlier in October, and B, bolster support for their elections, which still didn't work out that well. I kind of ran the numbers on it. I mean, gee whiz, in New York City, 800,000 voters didn't bother showing up for the election compared to last year. And then in the state of Virginia, which they said, oh, was this ultimate turn, this blowout, this blue wave, only 83% of Kamala Harris's voters showed up in Virginia. Only 83% of them. How is that a blue wave? I mean, if it were 100% of them, sure. But only 83%? That's not a blue wave. The only reason Democrats won, if anything, is because Republicans didn't turn out. Now, granted, if both sides had maxed out their turnout to 2024 levels, yes, Democrats still would have won, probably by a similar, they would have been given a similar number of seats as they got this year, probably. But that didn't even happen. 17% of Democrats just said, nah, ain't worth it, not going to bother showing up. 17% compared to last year, which means probably a lot more Democrats just didn't bother voting than are on the registry list. So that it's not that big of a blue wave that they had. It was more like the Republican tide receded that a blue wave came in. But on top of that, again, the Democrats were gambling big that this shutdown would get their people out to vote, which it kind of did, kind of, sort of. I mean, like I said, they didn't get everybody out they needed, so it didn't even really work on that level. And now that they've won their elections, Schumer finally decided, oh, it's time to put an end to it. And Democrat voters, they are pissed. So you got to wonder, will this be a Kevin McCarthy moment? As I said in the opening segment, topic that I had for today, will this anger carry over into the elections next year? Who knows? Will Democrat voters remember this betrayal? If they don't get rid of Schumer, they might have a problem in 2016 with this. And now, Democrat politicians, though, it's funny. Like I said, they were blaming Republicans for the shutdown. So not only why did Democrats vote to continue it if it's Republicans' fault, but on top of that, and why will Democrats vote to continue it tonight after the show airs? I'm expecting Republicans to all come out and vote and probably win by a margin of one and end the shutdown by a margin of one, maybe two votes. But as far as Democrats, they're all going to vote. I suspect that they will all vote to keep the shutdown going, knowing full well that the Republicans are going to vote to end it, so their hands are clean. But Democrat politicians, they're still blaming Republicans for it. So why are voters so mad that it's going to end too? That's the question. If the shutdown was causing as much suffering and terror and all these starving people in the streets, why are Democrat voters so mad that it's about to end? Now, allegedly, there's also 5 to 6 more Democrat senators who are on the cusp of voting to end the shutdown as well. So perhaps Democrat Party was just wearing out. But largely, the rest actually said they were scared of their base. And that's the interesting thought. But we've seen that throughout this year. Democrat politicians are terrified of their base. It was reported on Fox News how you had anonymous Democrats coming out and saying, yeah, our base is terrifying us because not only do they want violence, they want us, the Democrat congressmen, the Democrat senators, to be violent ourselves. Which, you know, that's not going to be something that's going to happen. You don't get yourself into Congress or into the Senate to be violent. You get there for a steady paycheck. So at least it seems that we've seen so far. More Alan Nathan Show after this break.
Would you know where to turn if you or loved one suddenly became paralyzed? Paralysis isn't something you plan for, but the National Paralysis Resource Center has served as a vital lifeline for thousands of families. But federal funding for the program is at risk. Marine veteran Sherman Gillums Jr., Senior Director of Public Policy at the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, says the consequences could be devastating.
This is about more than just a budget line. It's about veterans, caregivers, and families, real people who need these resources to live more productive and independent lives.
Gillums, who lives with paralysis himself, says cutting this funding would remove critical resources like peer mentoring, help with housing, and job placement guidance.
When you take away these lifelines, people must figure out how to rebuild their lives on their own. And that's not something any family should have to do.
Learn about the importance of funding for the National Paralysis Resource Center at ChristopherReeve.org.
On Sunday, November 2nd, Americans will fall back to standard time, despite growing concerns over the health and safety risks of seasonal time changes. According to sleep experts, making standard time permanent could improve the lives of millions, and the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time and its partner, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, are working to make that a reality. Dr. Karen Johnson, sleep medicine physician and co-chair of the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time.
When our schedules align with the timing of natural light, people benefit from brighter mornings, safer commutes to work and school, and improved sleep at night.
Want to lessen the effects of the time change? Try these tips. Get at least 7 hours of sleep per night before and after the change. Adjust the timing of daily routines like meals and exercise, and head out for early morning sunlight during the week after the time change. For more information about ending daylight saving time and to find additional resources about sleep disorders, treatments, and sleep health, visit sleepeducation.org, sponsored by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me?
would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Under Joe Biden, it was the American Rescue Plan, wrongly named, where Democrats pumped $2 trillion into the economy. And what did they do? Economists call it the original sin. It drove double-digit inflation that we hadn't seen in 40 years. Donald Trump inherited that broken economy, and he has been fixing it. Energy prices are down. Grocery prices are down. In fact, gas prices are at a lowest point in 5 years. But this was seriously broken by Joe Biden and Democrats. And guess what? Donald Trump is fixing it. We gave the Democrats a clean, continuing resolution to keep the government funded back on September 19th, Shannon. And what was their response that your previous guest doesn't even mention? They want to spend $1.5 trillion. It is essentially the same failed economic policy that put Americans in the ditch under Joe Biden. And you know what? Donald J. Trump is fixing this economy. That's why 77 million people voted him.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show, co-host Joe, hosting the program today. While we wait for the guest that was promised in the last segment, I just figured I'd play that. Our producer played that clip, so give thanks to him. But that was from Fox News Sunday with Shannon Bream. This past Sunday, as a matter of fact, House Majority Whip Tom Emmer, Republican out of Indiana. I guess, you know, for the sake of fairness, we started the last segment with the House Minority Whip, so now we have the House Majority Whip, Tom Emmer, Republican out of Indiana. He was explaining how Democrats had shut down the government to try and force Joe Biden's failed policies, because what he was talking about was Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader's proposal for reopening the government, $1.5 trillion in spending to fund everything that Joe Biden had put into place, and you know, all these Democrat pet projects or whatever. So, you know, the sorts of things that they lost the election over last year. And I guess that they were trying to hope, I guess Schumer, that was his last desperate hope that... No, actually, he probably was not a last desperate hope to that the elections would be interpreted as a mandate that Republicans should be thrown out, unless he happened to buy into the media the media propaganda that he himself probably planted in the media. Rather, I would say that that was Schumer trying to look tough when secretly he was negotiating to end the shutdown, as, again, evidenced, as I mentioned in the last segment, with statements from Senator Jeanne Shaheen, Democrat of New Hampshire, who said that Schumer was orchestrating the ending to the shutdown, which would have happened just a few days after he made that $1.5 trillion proposal. So maybe that was the public face, and the private face was, let's just get this darn thing ended, because we're not winning the popularity war. That $1.5 trillion thing was just a way for him to save face and look tough in light of the voters. But the Democrat base does not seem to have bought it. They don't seem to have been buying that particular propaganda. Sorry, I got a phone call and it distracted me. But anyway, so we now are coming to an end of the shutdown. Hopefully, I mean, if enough Republicans defect, the vote hadn't happened yet as of this recording. It happens right after this airs, but the vote hasn't happened yet. But it looks like the shutdown will end unless Republicans defect. And the only interesting thing, though, that I'm expecting is how many Democrats in the House are going to be like, vote with the Republicans to reopen the government. Because some senators, you know, they sided with the Republicans, but did they do that because they had to? That was the only way to bring this to an end, and they wanted it to end. Or did they do it because their base wanted them to, and they had to look good for their base? And allegedly, five or six more Democrats, so about double the ones who defected, were... On the verge of defecting. And that, I just realized that didn't sound quite right. 5 to 6, like 7 of them had defected already, and 5 to 6 more would have doubled the number total from what had been to what would be the defection number. Anyway, So will we see that reflected in the House, though? Will any Democrats in the House of Representatives come about and decide and change their votes and vote against what the larger bit of the party does because they're in perhaps purple districts and at the risk of losing their seats next year? Because despite claims of the blue wave that we had this year, it wasn't actually a blue wave. As I said in the last segment, they didn't even get as many voters that turned out for Kamala Harris last year in the state of Virginia. And in New York City, they didn't get as many voters as turned out last year to vote for either candidate. So, like last year, they had a total of 2.8 million voters. This year, they only had 2 million. So they lost voters, and it can't all have been Trump voters that just sat at home, right? So it had to have been some Democrats in that mix, too, who just sat at home. So they can't even get their own party to show up. Well, neither can Republicans, but that's a different story. But Democrats are the ones who are touting it as a blue wave. But if you can't get your own party to show up in the same numbers as they showed up just the year before, is it really a blue wave? And if you win only in blue states, is that really a blue wave? Were they so trepidatious about their chances of winning that they kind of suddenly forgot that these are blue states, or that they were scared of losing in blue states? The only reason that they had anything to fear in Virginia was maybe there were a couple of sane Democrats who would side against the murderous Attorney General candidate Jay Jones, but obviously that didn't happen. I mean, gee whiz, there was a poll out there that said 93% of Democrat voters had no problem with it. So the fact that 93% of Democrat voters total had no problem with it, and only 83% showed up, then that 7%, they could have stayed home cleanly. As a matter of fact, I did the math on it, and if only 93% of Kamala Harris's voters showed up, then it wouldn't matter how many. If 100% of Republican voters from last year showed up, they'd still be beaten by a safe margin. Well, maybe a recount, but still. So you can't say it's much of a blue wave with numbers like that when you're underperforming like that. And it's like those No Kings protests. You know, you get a crowd shot and then your paid protesters leave for the day, as we saw happen in New York City. But even with the paid protesters, when you add the numbers up, it just doesn't add up to a very strong total. You get like 3% of Kamala Harris voters, 3% of Kamala Harris voters showing up at these protests. How is that a widespread nationwide uprising, or whatever they're trying to portray it as, a widespread rebuke of Trump, when you can only get 3% of your own people to show up for it? So that propaganda is gone, and Democrats probably saw right through it because they're the ones making it. The politicians did, and that's why they're voting to end the shutdown, because they realize they don't have any leverage. But their base is the ones who they were trying to placate. They're pretty upset about it because they bought into all of this. They think they do have a mandate. They think they do have leverage. They didn't do the math on these elections and the No Kings protests. They think that's all them. They think this is their moment. This is their time to shine, and to only be betrayed right after voting in Democrats on election day and turning out for them, well, they're rather upset about it. And like I asked, will this carry over to next year, or will they forget about it? Will the enthusiasm be gone because they realize they got played? And they don't want to get played again. They want new people in who won't play them. The same thing I was worried about happening with all the Republicans in name only on the Republican side. Will that curse affect the Democrats? Well, we'll have to see. We're still slightly less than a year away from that. Anyways, folks, this hour of the Al Nathan Show. Thank you for tuning in to it. MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, AlanNathan.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.